So, a little intense. Anybody got any tears they're trying to wipe off? So can I lighten things up a little bit? Is that all right? All right. 10 things Mama taught me. How's that? That's not my sermon, all right? This is not my sermon. This is not my message. 10 things Mama taught me. Mama taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. 10 things Mama taught me. My mama taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mama taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you talk back to me. Want me to talk or not to talk? I don't know. 4, my mama taught me humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mama taught me how to be an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mama taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mama taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mama taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. And my all-time favorite, justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. Just messing. Come on, let's give it up. All right. You're smiling. You're happy. You should be. Talking about dealing with distractions, and a father wanted to deal with distractions. He's trying to read, and as he's trying to read, his little daughter kept distracting him. And so finally he tears out a page out of the magazine that's got a world map, and he tears into little pieces and says, Vanessa, go in that room over there and put this back together. And he's like, peace and quiet. And he's sitting there, but it was only a few minutes later, Vanessa returns, hands him the map correctly, all fitted together and taped up. And the father's surprised, and he's like, how'd you finish it so quickly? And she said, on the other side of the paper was a picture of Jesus. When I got Jesus in his place, then the world came out right. I was like, dealing with distractions, maybe you're not like that dad who's being distracted by a child. Maybe you are, but maybe I want to talk about the distractions that happen when you're trying to do a devotion. And sometimes we're trying to spend time with God, and we can all be distracted, and we have good intentions to do things, and we have good intentions to meet with God, but a lot of times we run into distractions. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about a story. I probably heard it. I probably shared it with you before. Zach was here last service. It's about my son Zachary. We were on a family vacation, and we're in, I don't know if it's Colorado or Utah, but we were in Flaming Gorge. I think it's Utah. And we were river rafting, and I was in the back with a two-man canoe, and it's a real thin canoe. I mean, not a canoe, a kayak. And we're going down there. Well, the guy decides he's going to stall the raft on a rock in the rapids, and I'm flying in this kayak. So the front nose is going to go under the raft any second, and my son's going to go under with it, and I'm picturing he could drown. So I dumped the kayak. Zach hits the water, and as soon as I could pull back up, as soon as he's coming out of the water, I'm already right there in his face. I grab his, he had a life vest on, but he's still freaked out. He's just freezing cold water. And I look him in the face, and he looks like a raccoon in truck headlights. You know, he's like freaking out, and I said, you're going to be okay. And I smiled, like, this is cool. And he's like, oh. And he chills out, and I stuck him in the raft, and we moved on, and we made it through the day, and it was just one of those things we talk about. But today I want to talk about a story where Jesus had to pick Peter back out of the water and got Peter into a boat when he was sinking. And Peter got into that mess because Peter got off track and got distracted. Jesus told him to come to him, and in the midst of it, he started focusing on his fears, and he sunk. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today is, in context to our devotion, that we need to stay on track. I want to read the setting, the scriptures in Matthew 14. This is the text we're going to read out of. The setting is John the Baptist just was beheaded. Jesus, in Matthew 14, 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, speaking of John's beheading, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place by himself. So Jesus, basically, this John's his cousin. John got beheaded. You know, Jesus was fully God and fully man. He had emotions. And, you know, he was just wanting to go pray. You know, he wanted to sort it out. His cousin just got beheaded, and here he is wanting to go pray. And then when the multitude heard of it, they followed him on foot to the city. And so Jesus goes across the lake. They come around the other side. And so Jesus gets out of the boat, and another gospel says he's laying there, and he looks up. So he's probably laying there, and he looks up, and he sees a multitude coming to him. He felt like they're like sheep without a shepherd. In this gospel in Matthew, he says, Jesus went out and he saw the great multitude. He was moved with compassion for them and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place. The hour is late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy food. Jesus testing them. Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them to me. He commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass. He took them, blessed the 5 loaves and the fish, and then gave it to his disciples, and his disciples gave it to the multitudes, and they were all filled, and 12 baskets were picked up at the end. Now, those who had eaten were about 5,000, besides women and children. Immediately, check this out, immediately Jesus said to his disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side, and he sent the multitude away. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, immediately is a key phrase. It's mentioned, I think, 19 times in Mark. When I'm reading Mark, I'm always conscious of every time it says immediately, immediately. This is Matthew. He's saying Jesus did something immediately. And the point I'm bringing up in this is Jesus, as soon as he did what he was doing, he was on his way to his devotions with God. And when he did what he was doing, then he got right back on track. And he went to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening, he was alone there. Now, Jesus, you can see the setting that he was interrupted, but he took his interruption and he made it an interaction with the God's and the Father's will. And sometimes we're interrupted, and that's the place where there's a miracle is going to happen. Sometimes we got interrupted on this missions trip, but we have to look for the miracle in the interruption and turn the interruption into an interaction where we bring God onto the scene. Because we're supposed to shift the atmosphere, not be subject to the atmosphere. And so Jesus is in this situation, and he's trying to say, I'm going to shift this interruption into an interaction with God. And, you know, when you want an encounter with God, you can count on interruptions. So interaction with God or interruptions of man. I kind of want to talk about what Jesus did, not just what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do, not what would he, what did he do? Jesus, out of his love for the people, when he was interrupted, he still ministered, and his love for the people caused him to minister when he wanted to be with the Father. And you got to understand, sometimes you're going through a tough time, and many of you have been there before where you have something and you just don't have time to deal with it. I mean, I've done funerals for my family members, and I can't grieve at the funeral. I need to be there and connect. But when I leave, I need some time alone because I need to, like, process. Jesus needed some time to process, but in the midst of that, his love was more, okay, let me put it this way. You're made of body, soul, and spirit. Our bodies touch the ground. Our souls, our mind, will, and emotions, and our spirits commune with God. And so, but the spirit has first place, and the soul has second place, and the body has third place. There's an order. And God is love. That means in God. So love is spiritual. It's spirit. It's first place. So our mind, will, and emotions cannot dominate love. Love dominates our mind, will, and emotions. Are you with me? So Jesus demonstrated that he was going to let love dominate his mind, will, and emotions. Because he was emotional. When Lazarus died, he wept. His cousin just got beheaded. He was emotional. Now, so whatever he was processing, love moved him when he was disappointed or saddened or whatever the emotions were, love moved him to get beyond it so that he could minister. But yet once done, immediately he went to the quiet place and he prayed. So Jesus demonstrated that we can be interrupted and still flow with love, yet Jesus got back on his mission. So I want to come from there and just take a look. So in Matthew 14, it says, when the disciples saw he was walking on the sea. So Jesus went back up. He's praying, and we read that. And he's up there, and he's praying. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat now was in the middle of the sea. So Jesus on the mountain, the disciples are in the sea, and they're getting tossed around. The wind was contrary. And when the disciples saw he'd been walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? And cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. He said, be of good cheer. It's I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hands. He caught him and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him saying, truly you're the Son of God. And when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent all in the region, and they brought to him all who were sick and begged that him that they might just only touched the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were perfectly well. So it wasn't just the woman who got a hold of the hem of the garment. Every single person in that city who touched his garment got healed. Because when you've been with the Father and you've been in the presence of his glory and you've been with God, you carry glory down and people touch it and they got healed by the very garment he was wearing. When we've been in an intimate place with God, he fills us with the presence. And that presence, we carry that presence to the people. He did more miracles and all of that after this happened. And what we need to see here, and the point that I saw in this was, is think about it. Jesus, he was trying to get to that place. But once he got to that place and they're out on the sea, a bunch of miracles flowed. Once we've been with God and we connect with God, all those things happen. First, Jesus sees a vision. His boys are in trouble. They're out on the sea. His boys are in trouble. And Jesus said in John 17, I didn't lose one. He's not about to now. He sees they're in trouble. And so first thing, he gets a vision. He sees they're in trouble. Second thing, he gets translated from a mountain to the middle of the ocean or the middle of the sea. Second thing, he's walking on water, so he's defying gravity. Or third thing, he's defying gravity. Then he calls Peter out of the boat, and Peter steps out and walks in faith, and then he starts to sink, and he saves Peter. And then he raises Peter back up, and they walk back to the boat, and they get in the boat. Then he calms the storm. So all these miracles happen. Then he gets to the shore, and everybody gets healed just by touching his garment. So what I'm trying to say is all these miraculous things happened and they flowed after he's been in the presence of God. How much more do you think if Jesus manifests from the presence of God, how much more do we need to be in the presence of God? How critical is our devotion time? How critical is our intimacy with the King? Intimacy with the King of glory causes us to carry glory. So let's look how Jesus dealt with distractions. Number one is intimacy fuels our identity. Intimacy fuels our identity. If you're not walking in your identity, then increase your intimacy. If you say, well, I'm really not doing what I want to do, I'm not walking in what I want to walk to, I'm not carrying what I want to carry, I know there's more, I know I'm a son, I know I'm a daughter, I know who I am, but I want to know who I am more. I feel like I need to be more. I need to walk in who I am more. Well, intimacy fuels identity. And so if you want to, then walk in and find that place to connect with him, and you'll walk in it more. And so we see here that Peter didn't... He was distracted by the waves. And Peter didn't sink when he came in contact with Jesus. He was able to defy gravity. So Peter was sinking, but the minute he connected with him, he defied gravity. And now they're both walking back into the boat. Are you with me? So connecting with God, that's the place. When we're disconnected with God and he started to connect with fear, he sunk. When he connected with God, he defied gravity and he walked in the miraculous. So if we want to, if we find ourselves where he said, oh, ye of little faith, if we find ourselves faithless, the answer is to connect more with God. The answer is to connect into that place of intimacy with him. And Jesus demonstrates that in his own life and by what he did. So greater intimacy with God results in a greater sense of identity in us. And identity is directly related to intimacy. So next thing I want to talk about is first we get a hold of our identity, and the next thing is we need to get a hold of his identity. So number two is getting a hold of his goodness. We need to understand God's a good God. And if you think God's going to call you out onto the water to let you sink in the water, then you're mistaken. If God calls you on a mission, he's not going to let you sink. And you say, well, I followed God's call and I sunk and it happened. Jesus let Peter sink a little bit. Jesus could have just calmed the storm immediately and right when Peter started to sink and just said, be still, and it would have been still. Don't you think Peter was an accomplished fisherman? Don't you think he could have made it? Why didn't he do it that way? I don't know, but I will tell you this much. God's good. So there's a lot of things we don't know, but there's some things we need to settle. Once we settle our identity that we're sons and daughters of the God Most High, no matter what we face, God is good. But if the devil can get you to question God's goodness and say, God called you out here so you, like, called you out of Egypt so you could die in the desert, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God doesn't do that. You with me? But these are the things that come, and the devil tries to whisper, see what God did, see what God did, see who God is. No, God is good. Say, well, look what he let Job go through. We're not disciples of Job. We're just disciples of Jesus. And Jesus didn't lose one. And Jesus called him out, and Jesus saved him. And Jesus called you out. And he calls you on a mission, he'll help you accomplish the mission. He'll empower you to do it because of his goodness. But we need to settle that he's good. And they said, truly, you are the Son of God. When Peter was sinking, Jesus grabs Peter, yet Peter, bold Peter, don't you think Peter got a hold of Jesus? I mean, for Peter to cry out, Lord, save me, he's a fisherman. Come on, that's his business. If he's saying, Lord, save me, I think when Jesus got a hold of him, I think it'd be safe to say Peter probably got a hold of him. Something was happening that was crazy. Have you ever been in the water when, you know, you come up and you're like, wanting a breath, and then another wave hits you and you suck water and you're like, ah. You know what I mean? Have you ever had those rough seas? This must have been an intense storm that was intense and rough. And that was probably what was happening because Peter, this what isn't normal. You know, Peter was in trouble. And so what we need to see here is that I think that Jesus reached out for him, but I think Peter reached out back. And we need to get a hold of God's goodness. And we need to get a hold of it and hold on to his goodness because he came full of grace and full of truth. And he's full of love. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. We need to get a hold of that goodness and hang on to it and hold on and don't let go. So just to wrap this up, I know we're out of time. I want to give you just a couple few thoughts, just some practical things you could apply just in context to we need to identify our distractions. Identify your distraction. If there's anything keeping you from intimacy with Christ, create a new strategy. If you say, well, my kids, I can't, create a new strategy. Just there is a way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us there's no temptation that's overtaken you. There is a way if you ask God. You say, well, you don't understand. I got so many kids. Lock yourself in the bathroom when your husband gets home and let him watch them as you chill out and have your time with God. If you let him in the bathroom, there's no time. Never mind. Let's leave that alone. Get a new strategy. Get up earlier. Stay up later. Get someone to babysit. You got to figure out a way, but there is a strategy for you to get time with God. You say, well, you don't understand. I get up. I start work. I'm on work. I'm doing all this. Get in your vehicle and just cry out to God in your vehicle. Act like you're on a phone call. You know, I can't tell how many times I'd be weeping and crying and you know, like I'm heading home from San Diego and Robert knows Patty and Fred Simula. Fred would be on the freeway 2-3 times. Fred pulls up next to me and I'm like sitting there weeping and crying. I'm like, God, and I'm having this altar time with God and he honks the horn and he's always this big smile. He waves at me. Hi, Daniel. And I'm like, hi, Fred. He's probably like, this guy's weird. Because he's super happy. He's one of those guys that's like, are you always this happy? And I'm like snot coming down and weeping. And I'm like, ah, and I'm getting rocked by God in my car. You know what? Just they'll think you're on a phone call with Bluetooth or something. And you know what I mean? So what? He's just got some bad news over there. But talk to God. Who cares what people think? Get a hold of it and talk to God. Just we got to identify distractions. And the next thing I just want to tell you is don't wait for the storm to cease to get a hold of him. Don't say, when this stuff calms down, I'm going to get with Jesus. He didn't calm the storm first. He got a hold of Jesus, then the storm was calmed. Don't wait for the storm to stop. You got to have a get a hold of Jesus in the storm plan. You got to have a, I'm going to do this when the storm's crazy, I'm going to get a hold of Jesus. Peter's was, help! Jesus got a hold of him, he's like, locked on. You know what I mean? It's like pit bull hold. You're not getting away from me. You got to have a in the storm plan. Are you here? Have somebody that can just slap you and go, hey, get a hold of Jesus. You know, you have to have a plan, but you need to make one. Don't wait for the storm to cease, but get a hold of him. And in the midst of your trial, Peter cried out. Don't just tough it out. Peter was tough. He could have toughed it out and just been like, I can do this thing. You know, no, Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Don't just tough it out. Cry out and cry out in prayer. You know, when you're in a tough time, you need to increase your prayer. Jesus, when he was going through emotional, he needed to increase his prayer. If not, everyone around you is going to suffer because you don't have the emotional capacity to deal with life around you. So if you don't go get with Jesus, you're going to make it hell on everyone around you because you refuse to connect with heaven. But if you just connect with heaven, even when you're going through hell, God will prepare a table in the midst of your enemies. And you can, in the midst of going through it, understand and know that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't say you camp there, he said you walk through it. But we have to connect with heaven. If we fail to connect with heaven, then you get the other thing. So call out. Get a hold of his goodness. Get a hold of his outstretched hand, because he stretched out his hand and he's still stretching out his hand. And I just want to ask if you'll stand with me right now. Whatever that looks like to you, go to that place. Jesus grabbed Peter's hand. But I think, you know, Peter, I think he got a hold of Jesus as well. And just as we wrap this up, I just want to let you know that, like, why? You know, it's so simple, but like, why? You know, I was thinking of this and I just thought, you know, the why is simple. In the beginning, I was telling you about a story how my son, how I dumped him in the river. I turned it over. I mean, I did it because I didn't want him to drown. I knew I needed to do something. And sometimes we go through something and we don't realize God's avoiding something that's worse. You know, we're like God delays us because there's something really bad that could happen if we followed that timing. We just don't know, but God's a good God and he knows. And instead of Zach saying, "Why did you dump me in the river?" He went under. He has to trust I'm a good father.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good.
And when he went in, I was coming to him. Everything in me was, I'm going to get to my son and I'm going to get a hold of him. And as soon as I could, I grabbed his vest and I looked at him and I smiled and I said, "You're okay. You're going to be okay." And then he kind of had peace because his dad got a hold of him and he knew, my daddy's got me. And if my daddy's got me, I'm not going to drown in a rapid. I'm okay. I'm going to make it. I said, "You're going to be okay." And then he just, phew. And he's a great swimmer, but it's freezing cold. I got to get him out before he gets hypothermia. But we were there. Can I tell you this? Your daddy's going to get a hold of you. And it's okay when he gets a hold of you. And the minute I grabbed him, he grabbed me. I grabbed his vest, he grabbed my vest. And I know he didn't think I'd let him go, but he was like, "I'm holding on to you as well." You know what I mean? I'm not going under. And I think just like Peter, we got to get a hold of our Father. So whatever it is, get a hold of his goodness. Don't get a hold of all the lies and all the why this is happening because I'm so evil and I'm a bad son and I'm all that. Read the prodigal. God ran after him. The father ran after him and hugged him and kissed him. God, you got to get a hold of his goodness. Not the lies of the devil. Get a hold of God's goodness. And as you get a hold of God's goodness, then everything's going to shift from that point on. We got to remember he's a good, good daddy. And I just want him to sing this. Would you just shut your eyes for a second and just we close this? Would you just listen? You can worship. Sing it with her. Just as Jesus reached his hand out and he grabbed Peter, Father God's just reaching his hand out. He's stretching it out saying, "Let my goodness get a hold of you." And I just want to ask some of you, if I know all of us could say we need this word, but if it's just really ministering to you and you say, "I just need to get a hold of his goodness and I just come out of your seat and just come up here. We're going to close this way. I'm going to let you go real quick, but just come out of your seat. Just come out of here like an act of faith. As Peter stepped out of the boat, I want you to step out of your seats. I need the altar team just come forward now. Just come on up here to the front. Just come on up here and just get a hold of him. Just get a hold of his hand. Get a hold of his goodness and let him get a hold of you. You know, some of you could say, you know, I'm not going through a tough time. Matter of fact, I'm going through a great time. I'm so successful. I have success all around me. Do you realize that success can be the biggest distraction that there is? And in the midst of success, you better get a hold of his goodness, because if not, things can go south. And so it's not just a message for somebody who's sinking. And sometimes, are you distracted and do you need to get a hold of him? Wherever you're at, if this is really ministering to you for something, just come on up here. And team, just go ahead and start to lay hands on them and minister. Some of the missions team, come on up here, please. Pat and Perry, come on up here and just start to minister and just let the love of the Father I just believe he's going to get a hold of you. And we're going to sing this. And as we sing this verse, I want you to sing that to us. I want you to make it a declaration that he is and that who you are. I want you to make it your declaration today. If you're not up in the front, would you do that? I'm going to let you go real quick, but just stay with me. Don't check out right now. Just stay with me and let God do it. Let it be your proclamation.